This is Whitney, and you're listening to the JCast on Jabberlog.
Live from the Podcast Zone at the NINA 2013 Conference and Expo in the Charlotte Convention Center, it's Within the Trenches with your host, Ricardo Martinez.
Good morning. This is Ricardo with Jabberlog on the JCast, and this is going to be just one more episode of a series of episodes that I'm doing here in Charlotte, North Carolina. This is going to be Within the Trenches, episode number 30, and this episode is sponsored by Threadzy as well as InDigital. And I'm currently within the Charlotte Convention Center, and this is going to be the NINA 2013 Conference and Expo. And for this episode, I am sitting with Sherry and Natalie. How's it going? Welcome to the show.
It's going great. Thank you for inviting us.
Hi, Ricardo.
Hello.
Nice to be here.
Oh, that's great. Now, what agencies do you both work for?
I'm a retired from Miami-Dade Fire Rescue after 36 years there.
Excellent.
And I work for the North Central Texas Council of Governments 911 program in the DFW area.
And you said earlier when I was trying to write that down, you're like, it's a mouthful. And that is one of the bigger reasons why I said, I'm just going to have you guys say it because I'm trying to write it down here and put it in shorter forms. Like, nope, I'm going to mess that up. So better that you said it. Well done.
Thank you.
Now, what we're going to talk about today is TERT. So either one of you, if you want to explain exactly what TERT stands for, and because I myself, as I had mentioned to you guys before this podcast, was I don't know a lot about TERT. You know, I've heard it thrown around and some people try to explain it sometimes, but they don't really know. So having the both of you here that work with this or a part of it, it's going to be good for people to learn from.
Well, Natalie has had a lot more experience historically with TERT than Texas has. But as far as co-chairing NJTI, the National Joint TERT Initiative, we actually met in 06 after there was a need from Hurricanes Katrina and Rita that, you know, who does 911 call when 911 needs help?
Right.
So we actually met. We were invited up to Chicago, and we met. We talked about it. We talked about how we wanted the future of the Telecommunicator Emergency Response Task Force to move across the states. We were actually very fortunate to sit in on the curriculum development, the ANSI standard for what's in place today. So that's where our relationship began. But historically, she has a huge history with TERT before it became formalized as TERT.
And I love the way both of you can say TERT, just roll off your tongue like that. It's a great thing. We had issues with that word itself at the beginning. But I've been, I can say blessed because some of the things that we've done in Florida stems. No, that's where the curriculum comes from. And it started in 92 with Hurricane Andrew, where in our dispatch center, we were there and some of our dispatchers were not able to come back to work because they became victims of Hurricane Andrew. And I needed help. And all I could do was think about where else can I go to help if not with NINA and APCO, where the dispatchers are to help us out. And all I did was make a phone call. And next thing you know, I have about 35 people in my lobby.
Really?
And we put them to work.
That's great.
And the following year, in the state of Florida, we took this program and we made it the first Florida mutual aid plan for dispatchers. So we've been working with this type of program for over 20 years now and have very successful deployments throughout the years.
So what does it actually stand for? And it's like TERT, the T-E-R-T. What does that stand for? Is it broken up into something or...?
It's Telecommunicator Emergency Response Task Force Teams.
Okay.
And it's a group of elite dispatchers that can respond to any PSAP in the United States or in their own states and help out. When we think about this, police officers help each other out. They go and have mutual aid. Firefighters do the same thing. At the time of Hurricane Andrew, who could I bring into my center that would understand the foundation, the basic foundation of dispatching, of answering a phone, handling emergency response, I'm able to do data entry in a computer. If not, another dispatcher has been trained the same way.
Exactly.
It didn't matter what agency you came from.
Yeah.
It even didn't matter what discipline you came from. It could be police or fire, and I proved that it didn't matter what discipline you came from. If you could do the basic and not be afraid of answering a phone and helping out, You could do it anywhere. And that's what was proven.
That's awesome. You know, and it's no, I know that when we've had certain situations with weather, there have been times where officers have come in to try to help us out. But just like you said, you know, you can only go to another dispatcher, no matter, you know, where they come from, to do something like this, because those officers, you know, when they were sitting in there with us, I remember looking at their faces and they're just eyes popped open, jaws dropped, and they're trying to, you know, take calls for trees and wires down. And then towards the end of it, they're like, I don't know how you guys can do this. I don't think I could do this at all. So yeah, exactly. That's a good point that, you know, and it's no disrespect to anybody in fire, EMS or police or anything, but we are a certain kind of people, yes, you know, dispatchers.
Yes, we are. And who else better than to do and help us out? See, the issue is here that 911 dispatchers, call takers, telecommunicators, our job is, there's no room for error.
That's right.
So who else can come in and do our job? Now, we are victimized because of a disaster. We have our families. Mm-hmm. We can't sit in front of a console or even in front of a phone and take care of somebody else when we can't even take care of ourselves at that moment. So we need to take care of ourselves first so we can go in back and do the job that we love to do,
right,
in helping the community out. And that's where we come in. We come in, we answer those phones, we augment your center, and we help you out so you can go home, go rest, take care of your families, then come back full force to do the work that we're supposed to be doing, that with no error.
Wow. That's amazing.
And to validate what Natalie just said, when we deployed to Hurricane Ike, we deployed 13 teams just to assist those victims. Telecommunicators who had been working hours that had themselves no home to go to, and all they had left was their job, and they just want to hold on to that little piece of something.
Right.
And then you send this team down there that is there to not only assist them, to comfort them, to be there when they get ready to talk, but to also say, you know, I'm here for you to go and take care of your business. I'm here to be your friend, to be the ear that you need, and to just help wherever we can help. Mm-hmm. And the relationships that were built, they still talk today. They're friends. Mm-hmm. They even vacation together.
Wow.
I mean, that was in 2008. Uh-huh. But some of the challenges that we were approached with in the beginning, how are you going to send somebody down to someplace strange and then go in? These people don't have time to train you on their equipment.
Right.
I'm here to tell you, a telecommunicator is the most flexible person in the world. The longest amount of time it took for them to learn the equipment was 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. They know where the button is to enter the phone. They know how to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a matter of sliding in, tell us where everything is. We got this for you.
Wow. Now that's great. So then how, when something like this happens and you go for, you know, some sort of response or deployment, what do you send out now? Is it just somebody, do you guys have a group of people that end up calling everybody who's part of these teams, or is there email sent out, or, you know, how does that work? How do you get a hold of everybody?
Well, the process, what we teach, mm-hmm, is you do have to follow your process, and any disaster, you're going to have your EOC that's going to be activated.
Right.
So they do have to request a TERT team through their EOC, local EOC, where the local EOC will then go on to the state and request at the state level
for
an EOC. It's like any other request that they may have, mm-hmm, if you will. Once that's done, we have your state coordinators that are part of that, and they have, and they themselves have regional coordinators, in their region. The regional coordinator is responsible for all the PSAPs in their region.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone is aware of what's going on. Those of us that are trained in deployment, we already have our duffel bags prepared.
Really?
And ready to go in case something happens. In the case of Hurricane Irene,
mm-hmm,
I'm so happy that Texas had their bags ready.
Because
they went into Louisiana and stayed there and helped them out.
Yeah, how long were you guys there then?
We were there 7 days.
7 days?
Gave them time to get some rest, and they were actually ready to come back.
Mm-hmm.
They just needed to take care of personal business, make sure their families were healthy and safe, and they needed to get some rest. So the last day, they all worked together again, mm-hmm, and had that great farewell. We're so glad you came. We don't want you to go. It's really strange that the passionate bond that they so quickly build just because they know there's somebody here for me. And I trust them because they're of my same culture.
Right. Yeah. That is interesting how, you know, usually I know that, you know, with the people that I work with, you know, we start building that relationship, and I've been there about eight and a half years now, and we're all second family. But if I were to go into another agency that way and start building a bond, I'm pretty sure it would happen that quick because we all understand each other. We know what everybody's going through and why they would want to go home. And yeah, I'm here to help you out. And but that's great, you know, that it only took that amount of time.
It's amazing.
There was a study that was made, and the study showed that any dispatcher in a disaster mode now, not on a daily basis, can walk into any center in disaster mode in 20 minutes. They can sit down and do the job.
Wow.
All we need to say is the center that we're at. The name of the center and where's your emergency. We all know.
That's true.
It's the same.
Call taking techniques are the same.
Oh, the same.
That's for sure. Okay. And no matter what CAD system it is, or, you know, or what it is, I mean, we've always got paper and pen.
Exactly.
We can always go back to old school.
My experience, sometimes that's all you have is paper and pen.
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course. If it's in a disaster situation,
Of course, it is hurricane season. Mm-hmm. And so with that, Natalie is usually right on top of it and is always sending out blasts of any type of tropical storm that might be headed our way. And we just keep pushing that information out to everybody. You know, you've got to be prepared. So there is some pre-deployment things that we actually do just to ready the teams.
That's good. I can imagine that you guys would be on top of it for this whole time. And I was going to ask, too, I was going to say, are things heightened during hurricane season? You know, you just said it right there with, you know, sending out blasts to everybody to be prepared. You know, you always got to be prepared for anything.
And you just never know. Mm-hmm. You know, when we talk about hurricane season, a lot of people think of Texas, New Orleans, Florida getting hit. Well, we all know what happened last year in New York.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just never know. New York went ahead and they deployed teams out to help the upstate New York in their PSAPs. They did a great job. Illinois had their floods and they went out and they helped out and sent TERT teams out. So it's been a lot of good work. And I just love to see that our dispatchers are as important and considered emergency responders, where they too need to have that rest and that mutual aid so they can go ahead and continue to do the job that we do.
Now, is there just one whole team, or how many teams are there throughout the United States? I mean, is it separated that way, or how does that work?
Well, for example, if something happened in Florida and our center was hit and impacted and I would request a team, I'm very much a believer of your incident command system and your first unit in. I come from the fire service, so I was ingrained since I started working there. So that's how I've used the same concept. Mm-hmm. So if the closest PSAP that's not affected by that disaster is 1 hour or 2 hours away, they will always be the first ones to come in and help out.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right? So if that PSAP has trained the dispatchers, and in Florida, I have trained almost the whole state of Florida. So we have a lot of trained members.
That's awesome.
Both in TERT members, and we also have trained team leaders who will lead a team into going to help out. So, for example, in the storms of 2004, where we had those four hurricanes in Florida, Charlie, Francis, Ivan, and Gene, we deployed over 122 dispatchers throughout the state of Florida, all the way from the Panhandle all the way down to Port St. Lucie in the southeast region.
Wow. That's a lot of dispatchers, but it's a lot of good, you know, the people are doing. And I love how you said earlier, you know, this group, the TERT, is a group of elite dispatchers.
Absolutely.
That is awesome. How does one, if anybody was thinking about being involved with TERT, dispatch-wise, any dispatchers, what would they have to do? Is there a certain process that they have to go through, or is there an application, or how would someone get involved?
Well, if travel funding and budget are an issue, there is always the IS-144 FEMA class that they could actually take online. Mm-hmm. We really like to see that as a starter class, and then we really encourage them to take the basic, the TERT basic awareness class. And that gives them, it's a one-day class, 8 hours. We're always willing to travel to go and teach it anywhere. And then there's a team leader class for those that are supervisors or that want to step up and take that next level of responsibility on a deployment, who would actually be over a team as they went. So that's what, those are the three classes in place today.
Okay.
That they
that's
can
good.
Participate in.
So most recently, there was the disasters with the tornadoes that were going through. Did you guys, was there a deployment for that as well, or... I mean, does it just deal with hurricanes, or
there were no requests for a deployment? But us, as the chairs, the first thing we do is call the coordinator in that state and say, "We're here. What is it that you need? We're ready."
Nice. So there was no actual they didn't ask for anything, but that's great that you guys jumped in right away to let them know.
Well, that's our job.
And yeah, we, of course.
While there was not a formal request. From a state point of view, like in Oklahoma, the Moore, Oklahoma, we were very close in contact with our state coordinator. On a more local level, we had the tornadoes in Granbury, which is actually in my area, and we initiated the regional TERT, actually responded, which was the county next door that works the same way as a mutual aid. And Hood County went straight to Granbury, and they had dispatchers there within minutes to assist them. So that was more a local level response.
But even at the local level, they will use trained TERT members, trained dispatchers.
Wow.
To respond.
Wow, that's great. Well, going into on the wrap up of this episode, for any more information, if anybody wanted to learn more about TERT, is there some websites, or are you guys on Facebook or anything like that that people can go to and find more information?
We have the njti-tert.org website. They can go to there and find all kinds of information. Plus our contacts. And then we do have a very active Facebook, and it's spelled out National Joint TERT Initiative. And we're always welcoming new members. Let us know what we can do to help you, and we'll get you off the ground.
All right. Well, thank you very much, both of you, Sherry and Natalie, for joining me on this episode. A lot of great information, and just the stories that you guys told, that's going to be great for the listeners to hear. And hopefully I can get you some more traffic going to your websites and your social media pages. So, yeah, thank you once again. And for everybody who's listening right now, if you ever want to email the show, any comments, concerns, questions, anything like that, you can email the show at jcast@jabberlog.com. You can follow us on Twitter, and that is at WTT Podcast. And then you can find us on Facebook as well, facebook.com/WithinTheTrenches Podcast. And this episode, along with all the other episodes, will be posted up on thejabberlog.com and available 24/7. And once again, this episode is sponsored by Nina, Threadzy, and InDigital. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You just listened to Within the Trenches on the JCast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to thejcast@thejabberlog.com.